The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen, remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
The old TV boss, huh? Playing billion-dollar owner, telling everybody what the football,
what do you know?
What's going on. Yeah. What do you know?
Yeah.
I produce TV shows. Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm no TV producer. I just do football. That's what I do, okay? And then Paul Burmeister does a little football, but he is kind of like Johnny TV host guy, okay? That's what he is. So what's up? I'm Chris Sims. This is Paul Burmeister. It is a Thursday afternoon. We're in the meat of free agency. We got the big fucker calling in a little bit. He'll be here in about 30 minutes. Big Phil. He's got stuff to get off his chest. Got to talk about free agency. Christopher, you believe this? I got to tell everybody what I think. So we're excited for that. Of course, we got a ton of news. We got questions from the homies.
Yes.
We really got it all. It's a rainy, crappy day here in Connecticut. The winter will not end, as Paul mentioned. I mean, he's still wearing winter boots, as you could see.
I know, yeah.
Yeah.
I figured I had like two more weeks of this.
Yeah, you might as well go with
they
it.
Go away.
I had the same thought with the sweater this morning.
Why not?
I just thought like, the sweater, it's coming to the end here. I might as well wear
Pretty soon it's going to be a free agent. Could go wherever it wants. You might as well get a couple wears out of it, right?
Exactly right. Exactly right. So we got a good one today. We got plenty to talk about. There's been some big moves. There's still some big time guys out there just sitting there.
Yeah.
It's a weird year that way. Hey, we'll hit a little on the Deshaun Watson news, of course. We're going to talk about the Tyrod Taylor signing and all that. So I think we're going to hit it all. And go ahead. You lead the show from here on out, big guy.
Do you put aside football at all this weekend to go March Madness? At all?
So, like, I'm going to watch this weekend.
Yeah.
I did not fill out a bracket.
Okay. Is that rare for you?
It is rare. It really is. I'm usually, like, even if I haven't really paid attention, like, I'm the one that's like, hey, wife, hey, daughter, hey, son, like, let's fill out brackets and have fun with this, right? And do that. Dan Patrick, they have been asking me for my bracket. So I thought for sure I was going to do it. And I just kept going, oh, okay, I'll do it, you know, later, do it later. Last night, I get another text, hey, don't forget about your damn, and I'm like, oh, man, okay, I'll do that after I eat dinner here.
Didn't do it.
Still haven't done it. It's not going to happen.
How much time does he have, Pete?
Oh, it's over.
Tomorrow.
Oh, it's tomorrow. Okay, see, I'm not, that tells you how clueless I am right now.
It used to be Thursday.
It used to be Thursdays.
Okay.
Wow, so they changed it. Okay, so I still might do it.
Yeah.
I this afternoon, I get a little dead time, I'll do it. I have no clue about college basketball, and I can't lie.
I don't either.
It's a hard watch right now for me when I turned it on. It's like a little like college football. The atmosphere is part of why you like it.
Especially this time of year.
Right.
Yeah.
So I love football more than basketball. I can deal with that. But, like, yeah, I do definitely find myself favoring NBA basketball at this point more than college basketball.
Even now?
Yeah, I do. I've started in.
Okay.
I like NBA basketball.
Yeah.
Like, last night you had the Sixers and the Bucks on.
Do you wear the LeBrons
while
you're watching?
No, at that time I'm already in sweatpants with a robe on and some Nike socks.
For real?
Oh, yeah. I'm a robe guy.
Flannel?
No, like just a big white towel robe.
Yeah.
I'll send you a picture. Nice. That last night was the hoodie one.
I thought you'd send me one.
No, I'm not sending you one.
I had half a moment where I'm like, he's going to send me a...
Well, maybe I should. You're 50. You should be wearing robes, man.
I'm still waiting for the... gift of any kind.
Oh, of any kind. Oh, you get to be my friend. Isn't that a gift?
That's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yes.
All right, NFL free agency.
Yep.
Why not start quarterbacks?
Okay, let's do that. Yeah.
Fitzy gave us a little something a couple days ago to talk about there.
Right.
Next one, Andy Dalton, bringing up a very good question from Robert Babcock. This is Dalton to the Bears. How do you now rank Trubisky, Foles, Dalton?
Oh, Trubisky, Foles, Dalton. Okay. I think that, honestly, to me, the top two guys there would be Trubisky and Dalton. That's who I'm going to look at. Foles is the lesser to me. All right, I'm going to say that, especially within that offense where I think they you know, value movement a little bit more from the quarterback position.
Mm-hmm.
Dalton is more consistent and trustworthy. Trubisky has a higher upside and can make some plays with his arm and legs at times where you just go, damn, that was a good throw. Like, whoa, he kind of – that was a 30-yard, you know, down the sideline, pretty damn good throw, to where I think he's got more – overall power in his arm than Andy mm-hmm. Dalton right now at this point of his career. But Andy Dalton can hit the bullseye a little bit more than Trubisky. You know, Trubisky, yeah, you can go, hey, there's two or three great throws, and then all of a sudden you can go, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
Where Andy Dalton's usually always in the area. So, you know, I guess what I'm saying there is if your ass is on the line like they are in Chicago, all right?
Yeah.
Then you go with something that you feel like, hey, I trust it. If the guy's open, he's going to hit it.
Yep.
He's going to take our coaching and listen to what we do as far as reads go. And I understand them going Andy Dalton over Trubisky. And, you know, again, I just think it's one of those things a little like Wentz in Philadelphia where it's just like both sides are sick of each other.
Right.
Like Trubisky's it's like time. Had enough of the hate from Chicago.
Yep.
And I think Chicago, if they brought Trubisky back, would be like, what? Are you doing that? Last thing I want to say on that too.
Yes.
There's that report out there that they – offered the Seattle Seahawks three first-rounders.
Yeah.
You know, I said this morning with Mike Florio. I know from multiple people in the NFL that I trust, that offer was never real. No, to me, that from what I know, is a total propaganda talk. That was just the Bears trying
coming
to make it sound
where?
Like.
Coming from the
from
Bears.
From the Bears, because it was like, oh, we got Andy Dalton, but hey, everybody.
We tried
to get Russell Wilson. Hmm. From my understanding, from people who know the situation, there was never a formal offer of that kind from the Bears to the Seahawks. So that, I think, was a little bit of a, you know, let me put this out there to lessen the blow for when people look at Andy Dalton as our new quarterback,
They
don't totally shit the bed, okay?
Yeah.
Well, sorry, I'm here to let you know. You should maybe shit the bed, okay? They didn't really try to get Russell Wilson.
You brought up Trubisky.
Yeah.
What would be a good fit for him?
You know, I don't envision him being a starting quarterback, right? I don't. So to me, it's more of like a...
You'd love to have him as a backup, though, wouldn't you?
Yes, exactly right. He's a primetime backup with the capability of still being a solid NFL starter. You know, you say what you want. You know, he's been to the playoffs twice. One of those years, he drove his team down against the vaunted Eagles, and they had the mystique at that time. Ooh, you can't beat the Eagles in a big game or the playoffs. And they had a very makeable field goal. Double doink, they didn't make it. There's things to like about his game. We just talked about it. I mean, the running is pretty special for NFL quarterbacks. The arm strength is above average. Accuracy, below average. But, like, yes, he's the perfect backup with an upside
mm-hmm.
where you go, man, I mean, if we lost our starter, okay, we might, you know, this guy could maybe do something. So, to me, he needs to pick a place where, like a Jameis Winston, where he can flourish, right, to maybe get back on the market and do something. And really, when you look at it, I'm going to throw out teams that just make sense from a pure football stance. The New England Patriots, right off the bat. Why not? I mean, what? I mean, to me, the Jared Stidham thing and the things I hear there in that situation, like, that's over.
You feel better about playing him than Stidham if for some reason Cam couldn't go?
Yes,
100%.
I do. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
Stidham
yeah.
hasn't played, and Trubisky can kind of run the same offense Cam does. So you don't have to, like, go, oh, now we just got to get in the drop-back pass game, right, that you do with Stidham. You have to go, wait, we have to revert kind of back to the Brian Hoyer, Tom Brady offense when we haven't really been practicing that all week. So that makes sense to me. So, and it's a place, I think he goes there, and you see they got a little talent and a run game, and the coaching is as good as it go, where if Cam did get hurt, just like a Taysom Hill, where he's going to run the ball and take some hits, you might get a 3 or 4 game showcase and go, I'm still pretty damn good. Anybody want me next year,
right?
So that makes sense to me there. You know, the Titans, same thing. You know, they have Logan Woodside.
Hmm.
Right. He's young quarterback, small school, unproven. And I do think he'd fit the play-action boots Ryan Tannehill offense. He's a lesser version of Ryan Tannehill. And they have a pretty damn good team to where I'd go, wait, do you guys want to fall off earth when your starter does get hurt? Like, that would scare me a little if I'm them, right? So that makes sense. I'll throw the Colts in there.
Okay.
That's another situation
they
I
need
look
one.
At.
Yep.
Right? And they have their backup as we sit here right now, it looks like it's Jacob Eason.
Yeah.
Right? So I know he's got some talent. He's got a big arm and all that. But again, the Colts, I think we would agree, are kind of in the Super Bowl window right now. We're going to risk the whole year on Jacob Eason if Carson Wentz gets hurt for 5 or 6 weeks? Because, Carson Wentz has an injury history. Yeah. That's right.
You picture a month where you have to have your backup and you want to go 3-1. Is it going to be Eason or Trubisky? Gives you a better chance.
I know.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Exactly right. You know, so that's another one that jumps out to me. You know, other ones that I'll just hit on where I go, there's a need. And the Chargers, the Broncos, you know, they make sense. You know, again, I think with Vic Fangio, his ass is on the line. You know, if it doesn't work out with a guy like Drew Locke or he does get hurt, man, you know, the backups are Driscoll and Brett Rypien right now. Mm. I don't know, you know. Now, I don't know if that's necessarily the best spot for Trubisky either. They do have weapons at receiver, and they got a decent O-line that turned it around last year. So I would go, that to me would be one I'd look at if I were him. I said the Chargers because they only got Easton Stick. It's hard to know some of these younger backups. There was no preseason last year.
Right.
They didn't get to play. Even though we look at preseason and go, oh, who gives a damn about preseason? For backup quarterbacks, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
It is your chance to kind of show the league. And it's the only time you get in a real environment, as I say all the time, where now 280-pound guys can legitimately rip your head off.
Right.
And that makes your decision-making different. Falcons, I'll throw them in there just because – right now, I don't know what they got. Matt Schaub retired.
I know. That's right.
So they really have nothing down there right now.
Running through this list, for as much as it is absolutely time for Trubisky to be somewhere else,
right.
He ought to be in real demand to be this kind of guy for a number of teams.
I think that's what – and then the 49ers are the last team I'll throw out there.
Yeah.
Because it's – you know, it doesn't – Nick Mullins is going to be gone. Beathard's gone. You know, Jimmy Garoppolo has an injury history. Mm-hmm. And I think Trubisky – you know, again, fits that Shanahan mold. Play action, movement of the quarterbacks, the bootlegs, all those things. And I think a lot of the teams I mentioned set up for success for Trubisky. And your point's real, too. You know, backup quarterback's not going to be necessarily like, hey, the first thing on everybody's radar here the first week in free agency. But I wouldn't be shocked. Yeah, that's what I mean. Next week, when teams start to go, okay, wait, we've gotten the main pieces we need to fill in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, what are some of the other spots we need a little depth or we need to help our team here? And that's where I think the Trubisky thing can come into play. And he might see a decent little contract for a year or two, something like that.
Started 50 games, more touchdowns than picks, more wins than losses. You would think there's more upside than downside at this point of his career. So that all makes real good sense to me, too. Moving on down the line at the same spot.
Right.
Texans sign Tyrod Taylor.
Right.
There's a lot to read into this.
Yeah.
You have to look at Deshaun Watson with the multiple lawsuits right now.
Right.
It seems like a trade is what he wants more than anything.
Yep.
So how's that tie into what you feel about Taylor as a Texan?
Yeah. All right. So let's – before we even get into the lawsuits, you know, and before we even knew this, we knew Tyrod Taylor was going to be signed. To me, it's just – it's an insurance policy. In my heart of hearts, I want to say that at some point the Texans were going to trade Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Now, I do. I mean, I think that's why they signed a Tyrod Taylor. First off, David Culley at one point was in Buffalo with Tyrod Taylor. So there's some you know, common ground there. And, of course, Tyrod Taylor is again, one of those guys where he's a low-level starter but an awesome backup.
Right.
And, okay, maybe we draft a quarterback. We don't want to play him right away. This guy's a little raw, whatever that may be. He's the perfect bridge gap type of guy, too. You know, he's not going to, like, wow everybody in practice, but he's got enough skills to kind of do everything you want in the offensive side of the ball. He doesn't have an overpowering personality that's going to squash some rookie quarterback who maybe you drafted in the first two rounds. So, you know, he makes sense from all aspects, whether it was Deshaun Watson going to hold out and not play, or, you know, they do trade Deshaun Watson to a team that can't give them a quarterback back. And they go, okay, we're going to have to figure out our quarterback situation as we go forward here. But we got Tyrod Taylor, at least, to know we can go into the 2021 season and feel okay about that. Then there's the Deshaun Watson stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, come on. I don't know what else to say. I mean, I'm anybody that's listened to my pods over the years, you know I'm a Deshaun Watson fan. But I can't really defend him right now at this point. I can't. I mean, the way it looks right now is he has a masseuse problem.
Mm-hmm.
And really made some poor decisions, like poor decisions in the situations he put himself in. You're going to the masseuse's house? You're bringing an Instagram masseuse from Atlanta to Houston and flying them in? You know, not these are people you don't know, you don't trust, there's no relationship with, there's no third party around, anything like that. So just from jump off right there, that's stupid. Mm. I don't know any way to say it. You know, and I know we're going to let it all play out. I'm not trying to judge too harshly. And listen, I like Deshaun Watson, but it's hard for me. I'm not going to like him if all this becomes true.
Right.
I don't know what else to say. You know, so they're in a tough situation. And I think the big thing there is he's in a tough situation. Nobody's going to fucking trade for Deshaun Watson right now.
That's the thing.
There's no way.
Right.
I mean, it's 2021. You know, and we've seen only one guy be able to just skirt this, and that's the ex-president. And yeah, I'm going to say that too, because that pisses me off. There's Johnny White guy who got off free. All right. And where I'm pissed off a little bit about the Deshaun Watson problem, because I'm not giving him like any free pass. I'm pissed off, too. But the lawyer who's in charge of all this, mm-hmm. Busby down in Houston, this is just one personal thing. And I'm sorry anybody who's listening to the podcast and doesn't want to hear all this. All right. But it has to do with football. And this bothers me on a personal, humane America level right now, because we're seeing these issues everywhere. But Busby, a big lawyer, right, big time down there in the Houston area. I've known about him. I've even had some friends down at the University of Texas, you know, reach out to me, whatever. But, you know, okay, what I want to say to him is shut up. Mm-hmm. Stop with the social media messages about, you know, now you're on this high perch and this is disgraceful that a, you know, a man would do this to a woman and that people care about football more than people and all that. Hey, Busby, and I want to get on Instagram and go at him right now. You know, you can't be the number one fundraiser for a guy who's got 20 lawsuits of women who improper conduct, and you're the biggest supporter of him there is out there. I mean, he raised more money for Donald Trump, him and McNair, the owner of the Houston Texans, which mm-hmm. is a very fishy thing yeah. altogether. Nobody raised more money for them. But he had no problem with that. He could support. He literally has a quote where I'm trying to be Donald Trump mm-hmm. when he was running for office down in Houston. So you just that was OK for him to mistreat all those women. But now here it's Deshaun and you're going to prove a lesson to the world. Like, fuck off with that.
The hypocrisy is just
that drives me crazy. And I'm not trying to give Deshaun Watson any free pass here.
No.
Anybody that knows me, I will.
I think anybody listening, paying attention, also knows you, can draw that line very well.
Okay.
You said how you feel about the allegations, about the lawsuits.
Right.
It's completely separate what this lawyer is doing and how his past and who he has attached himself to.
And he's doing it publicly right now.
Has to be considered with what he's doing now.
Exactly right.
100%.
It just does. That doesn't add up to me. And he's doing it all publicly, and he's kind of doing this, the court in the public eye right now with all the social media.
If he would
Instagram
lessen
stuff.
His words on social media, he wouldn't be such a target right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, right now he's a target with me with that because I just want to go, well, there's some white America hypocrisy bullshit, and I just will not stand for that. Sorry.
It was free agency quarterbacks.
Yeah, we'll get back to that. Where do you want to go next?
Let's see.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm looking at the name Jacoby Brissett.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pretty promising in New England.
Right.
Up and down in Indy.
Right.
Now as the backup for Tua.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, it makes sense. It really does from a lot of ways. First off, I think the Deshaun Watson thing is probably come and gone now with this situation. But
you mean the potential trade?
The potential trade. Yeah. And honestly, even with the signing of Jacoby Brissett, I feel like that happened a lot before, you know, this news broke and everything like that, before it became a full-fledged story. I think that signing alone tells you they were moving on from that thought anyways. And they're going to go all in on Tua. He will be their quarterback this year and everything like that. But they need an insurance policy. Mm-hmm. You know, first off, you know, he's the perfect guy for a lot of the reasons we talked about with a Tyrod Taylor or anything like that. It's not a real strong personality, but he is a capable player when he gets in the game. You talked about the Colts that year where he was a starter. He started off playing really good football.
Yeah, yeah.
He hurt his knee and got really scary bad for a little bit where it was just like, whoa, bad decisions, bad throws. Like, what the hell's going on? And that's why they moved to Phillip Rivers. But there's also this aspect. Yeah, protect yourself. You know, Tua does have an injury history. You know, you can't sit there and look at the film last year from Tua and go, oh, wow, he blew us away. He's definitely going to get better and just kill it this year. You know, no, I think they got to still have legitimately that question a little bit. I think they're hopeful and they saw some good, but they don't know for sure yet.
Right.
You just listen to what they say down there. They don't know for sure. And Brissett, he was in New England. And these guys were all in New England. Mm-hmm. And George Gotze is the offensive pass game coordinator. He's going to run New England system plays. He was there with Jacoby when he was there. So I think it's a guy that can come right in, know the offense. We don't have to worry about any of that. And he's got good talent. And yep. we can manage the game and play around him just like we would Tua if we got to play him.
I think it's also a situation where you have to look at how much they got out of Ryan Fitzpatrick last year.
Right.
And it's not the young quarterback, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow kind of thing, where this is our guy unless he goes down with a serious injury.
No.
This is a situation where, hey, backup, keep your helmet on.
Yeah, no doubt.
Might need you in the second quarter.
Right.
So
exactly.
It had to be somebody who'd come in and do that.
I think so. They're just – with that New England core down there – you know, they're just, yeah, they're not going to trust that. They're going to have somebody there just in case. And I think they're going to give Tua every right. And hopefully they'll surround him with a little more talent. And, you know, he'll approach the year differently and have a full offseason to where he does improve. I'm rooting for Tua as much as people think I'm a hater of him. But I think that was a necessary football move for them to sign Jacoby.
You ready for a little Cam?
Yeah.
I know we hit Cam pretty hard the other day.
Yeah, right.
Okay, just one question here from Dylan Freiberg. Hey, Chris, big fan, but I don't understand your analysis of Cam Newton and how he can still be a starter in the league. His mechanics looked terrible last year, throwing off the back foot, shoulders parallel to the line of scrimmage, no control.
Yeah, no, listen, I'm not going to disregard that. It's a fair question, you know, but I think I'm going to take it all in totality too. You know, he was throwing the ball really damn good before COVID. You know, that threw him off. There's no doubt about that. Let alone he made the comments about he didn't really know the offense as well as he thought he did when that went along. There was a lot of negatives surrounding the situation. And then, yes, the mechanics are a real thing. We talked about that a few times. I mean, you know, it's this. If I'm throwing it to you in the camera there, anybody watching on YouTube, his shoulder's like this, and he's going to step over here and do that. Like, that's not going to work. But I can also go through, like, 95% of his career, more than that, 98% of the career, and go, well, look, here's a great throw. Here's a great throw. Mechanics are good. Here's a great throw. So I think when you take everything into no offseason, no talent, the COVID, learning the toughest system in all of football, it compounded itself to now where, wait, I'm out of sorts. You know, my mind is racing. And I'm a little off throwing the football, and it all got worse. I'm not giving up on Cam that way. And I understand the question. I really do.
And clearly the Pats are not either.
No, I don't think so either. Because I think, one, they saw his leadership. And I think, two, the other thing they're looking at is going, damn, when we had early in the year before COVID, like, they were coming, like, man, look at this at practice. Ooh, this is damn good. Training camp. Whoa, every day. Rifles, spirals, those things. And they're the kind of group, too, that goes, okay, he's got a few issues. We can fix this. Get him here in the offseason. We'll fix these little issues he's got in his mechanics and get him on the right track. And, you know, again, of course, they got the talent, the offensive line, the tight ends, and all those things that are going to make life a lot easier for Cam, too. You know, hey, listen, it's hard to be a real great thrower when, one, you're going, my guy's going to get open. Two, I'm still thinking about the play as I'm walking to the line of scrimmage. And three, I'm a little off my game right now, too. And I think all
it's
that compounded itself. Yeah, it's a trifecta. That's right. So we'll see. I'm saying to our guy right there, I'm going to bet on more positive Cam than negative Cam this year.
Dylan brought up fair points.
Yes.
I think your speaking with conviction is for reason as well. Wide receivers, a lot of names here. Oof. I want to treat this one this way.
Right.
I'm going to bring up a name. You just give me your first thought.
Okay.
With that name, with the new team, and we'll go from there.
Yeah.
Curtis Samuel to Washington.
Oh, I mean – love fest. I mean, anybody knows that this is my kind of under the radar Chris Sims guy at receiver.
Just your nonverbals right now. There's
two things. I mean, Washington, I'm kind of excited about their team, but Curtis Samuel along with Terry McLaurin is an explosive 1-2 punch right there.
At Benny as a Jet says, does Washington now have the best wide receiver duo in the league?
I'm not going to go that far yet, but
Think about it.
It's explosive. It's up there with the top explosive wide receivers. Because either one of those guys can be reverse 60 yards to the house, slant route 70 yards to the house. They can do either one of those things, let alone, you know, hey, don't forget, the Carolina Panthers coaching staff is in Washington now. The front office is too. They drafted Curtis Samuel. They know what he's all about. And I think, you know, you're going to see Scott Turner do more of what he did in Carolina with some of the stuff with Cam and all that, where, fake speed sweep, this guy going that way. I know it's Ryan Fitzpatrick, but it doesn't matter. You don't have to have a running quarterback to do those type of things anymore. You know, you just want to create a little bit of misdirection for a defense to take a wrong step. And, okay, there goes Curtis Samuel that way. We faked it to him. Oh, man, there's a hole on the backside now. Terry McLaurin's wide open for a slant. Good luck tackling him, guys. I think when you look at it that way, with the running back Gibson and their offensive line, I like where Washington's sitting as a football team. Yeah. I really do. And, you know, Fitzpatrick, again, as long as he's not overly aggressive and crazy, he can still make some plays and play the game the right way and do a lot of positive things for your football team.
And you're complimenting them with the focus on the offense right now. And clearly, I still think the best part of their team is the other side of the ball.
No doubt.
Right?
I mean, that's why I don't think it's a huge deal. I don't think that's why they're not panicked about the quarterback situation. They're going, wait, Ryan Fitzpatrick's better than anybody we had last year. Yeah. So what? And now we've made the offense a little bit better. And they signed William Jackson at corner, who's another one of my guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, Curtis Samuel and William Jackson, those are my guys, if you've been listening to me coming up to this, where I thought William Jackson would be the highest paid corner on the market. You know, it's right now he's sitting there at second. And, you know, and the other thing I wanted to, that I forgot about, you know, Logan Thomas, a tight end. Mm-hmm. You know, I was thinking of the names, and I'm going, damn, who am I missing here? But Logan Thomas, him as a pass-catching tight end, along with those two receivers, and Antonio Gibson at running back, damn, that's a good crew right there. So I am. Washington right now is they're in the leader house. In the leader house for the NFC East, where I go, you're going to make me pick a team to win the NFC East this year, right now, this second. I'm going to take Washington.
There aren't that many teams where you can look at them the way they're built, both sides of the ball, and say, if the quarterback just does fine, they can be playing in January.
Yes.
How far they go in January is another thing. But
right.
That's a team that you should think about, or certainly can think about for the playoffs with a quarterback who's just pretty good.
Yeah, right, pretty good. That's exactly right.
A.J. Green to the Cardinals.
Ooh, got good value signing to me. You know, A.J. Green's not the superstar he once was. A.J. Green's one of those guys I went back and watched a few clips of yesterday when he signed, because I was like, let me just go back and watch.
Yeah.
Because I overrated him going into the year last year. I made him a top 10 receiver. Yep, sorry, I messed that up. There's no doubt.
Number 7, Pete says.
Number 7. Yep, that was number
bottom half of the
7
top
for stupid. That's stupid. Yeah, they do. Yeah, they remember. But Robert Tonyan remembered. He got at me on social media, okay? Yes, I'm sorry. I should have had Devontae Adams somewhere through 6 through 10. All right? But the AJ Green, the one thing I look at, there's still explosion and speed in his game, along with the size, and size is a skill. You know, and Florio read a thing today, and you know me, I'm not a stats guy, but he read a thing on the show today going, you know, there was a lot of targets thrown at him, and it only ended up in this many receptions. And that was one of the things I had prefaced with the saying, going, you know, if you really watch the tape, and this is where I'm getting back to my point, he was open a little bit more than I realized watching on TV or just keeping track of the year. Him and Joe Burrow just had a little issue connecting. There's a number of plays on tape where you go, whoa, A.J. Green beat the guy off the line of scrimmage. He's going down the right sideline for a big gain. Oh, Burrow underthrew it, or Burrow overthrew it, or Burrow. They just couldn't quite connect and get going that way. So I think with this offense spreading the field, he's still a one-on-one mismatch for a lot of corners in football, and I think it fits well with what they're trying to do.
The subtext question in Arizona then, what's it mean for Larry Fitzgerald?
Yeah, I think that my heart of hearts wants to say it's over, that we won't see him unless he's willing to come back for a really low number, or maybe he wants to go somewhere else and just be some fourth receiver on a team that can contribute on a winner, maybe. But I feel like my heart of hearts are saying to me that it's over and we've seen the last from the great Larry Fitzgerald.
And now leaving Arizona.
Yeah.
Did you see Raising Arizona?
The movie with Phoenix, River Phoenix?
No,
was that? No. Raising Arizona was
Nicolas
which one?
Cage.
Yes.
John
like
Goodman.
They lost a kid something?
Yeah.
I kind of remember.
Awesome.
It's a long time ago, but I do
watch
remember
it. Watch it some night.
Okay.
Yeah, it's late 80s.
Blast from the past. Yeah. Yeah.
1987. Right.
I was 7, but I kind of remember it.
I don't think you'll think you wasted your time. Okay, John Brown to the Raiders.
Yeah.
Yes? No.
I like it. I don't love it.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I, you know, first off, what did they sign? They signed him for, and I have it. I think I have it somewhere right here.
Did
I got
pay
it.
Too much?
No, it's. I got it right here. It's a $3.75 million deal.
Okay.
Right. I think that speaks to what he is right now.
Yeah.
You know, I think everybody gets a little excited with John Brown because they like still remember his 40 time and his fast and all those things. No, it's nothing special. It's a reason Buffalo let him go. You know, and he's a smaller target, so he doesn't play through contact all that great. You know, but it's a good, you know, round out our receiver roster.
He
can
go
in the slot. Yeah, I know. That's where it's a little bit weird to me. To me, that's where I look at the Raiders, and I still go, there's got to be another guy on that receiving core. Like, whether that's a Juju. Like, to me, they need a physical guy.
Straight production-wise, Aguilar to Brown is not the – I mean.
No, Aguilar's a better player. It's not even close.
Sure.
It's not even a close. I know. But, you know, most people, I think, when they think of it, because Aguilar had the bad press in Philadelphia, they probably think, John Brown just came from the Bills. He's got to be good. Like, no. It's not special anymore that way. But I do think he finds a role in that offense. He has a little slot value. Of course, he can run by people on the outside a little bit. And that makes sense for John Gruden, the way he wants to run that offense. But I do think they need a Juju Smith-Schuster type.
Something
a
else.
Dirty work guy. The guy who can go over the middle. The guy who, even when he's covered, can still catch the football. And that's, to me, what they don't have right now. And maybe, like, they drafted the kid Edwards, right, from Carolina. I'm pretty sure it's South Carolina last year. Brian Edwards. Who maybe he's that guy. You know, that's what's tough, again, about some of these younger guys. I didn't get to see him in the preseason last year to really know what they're all about. But I think he has that capabilities from what I remember evaluating him in the draft last year. Maybe that's why they won't get in the Juju sweepstakes.
Emmanuel Sanders to the Bills.
Like, just good all-around multi-purpose receiver. That's, like, the days of huge explosive plays, they're done. But in that offense where... You know, again, it's New England. They value route running. That's why Diggs and Cole Beasley are there. Sanders is a really good route runner. You know, you saw that, and that's why the Saints and 49ers wanted him. Mm-hmm. They're route running coaches. That's what Sean Payton and Shanahan like. You know, so he can do everything. You know, he has just enough speed to still scare you with a post route over the top from time to time. But he's going to make his money for the most part if he's on the outside. You know, running comebacks, running in cuts, running double move type things. But really, he's more of like a all-around good-sized slot receiver, too. That's really what he's all about.
Kind of a luxury signing, too. I mean, the Bills didn't have to have another really good receiver.
No.
But if this works out, man, that's nice.
It's nice. One of the things last year that bothered people, the Bills, they've surrounded Josh Allen with so much talent at receiver. Like, yeah, relax with that. That's a little overdoing it. No. Cole Beasley's good. Yeah, Diggs is awesome. You know, but as we see, John Brown got $3.7 million on the open market. That doesn't say teams thought that film was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Cole Beasley is a good underneath, jerk route, slot option, that type of guy. So to Emmanuel Sanders, he'll do a lot of that, you know, Wes Welker, Julian Edelman type stuff that they did too, and now you can't just pin it to one guy.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
For 25 years, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard. So is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Pete, let's go ahead and run that graphic of the notable free agent wide receivers that are still out there.
Yeah.
Getting us to Kenny Galladay. I know he visited the Giants, but those are the names. We've talked about Juju, Galladay. That's probably going to happen, I was going to say any day, but probably any moment. Antonio Brown, T.Y. Hilton. Let's stay with Galladay.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, Galladay, he's the prized possession of free agency at the wide receiver position. I mean, in all accounts, it looks like the receivers, I think, overall, what you're seeing here, one theme is, you know, their value isn't as great as what they thought in the open market. First off, receivers are coming out in the draft every year right now where you go, ooh, I just got done watching all the receivers in the draft for the most part.
It's 2 years in a row that they've been really good.
It's really this year might not be as deep as last year. It's not as deep as last year, but there's still a lot of really good. And there's like six, seven, eight of them where you go, no, they're damn good. Like that their first round receivers this year are every bit as good as the ones we saw last year. That's where I'll say. So, you know, I think that hurts the value a little bit. But getting back to what we talked to the other day, you know, really, I think receivers looked at it and go, like a guy like Galladay goes, wait, this guy was a free agent last year and he got this much money. So I'm just as good or even if better, I should get a little bit more money. No, not in 2021 with the reduced salary cap. You know, so that's changed it. And I think guys like him have overpriced themselves. I think that's what's going on with Juju, too, where they're expecting pre-pandemic, you know, rise in money as far as what they're going to get contract-wise, and that's just not going to happen. So Galladay, hey, I know he's got an offer on the table from the Bengals. That would be awesome.
Right.
I mean, that would be great. You got Higgins on the outside, him on the outside, and Tyler Boyd working the middle. Woo, baby. Have fun covering that.
Right.
That's legit. You know, the Giants make sense. The Giants need one other presence at receiver. Not to say it needs to be a superstar, but Galladay would make sense again. Now you got Darius Slayton. You got Galladay on the outside. You got, you know, Shepard and Ingram on the inside. Whoa, watch out. That gets scary right there. That's a pretty damn good group. But, you know, the teams that I look at just right off the bat and go, well, teams that need receivers and have money, okay, just the Jags, of course, I still look at them and go, you know, it's a good receiving core, not great, you know, but maybe they're not going to get into this because DJ Chark is kind of that same guy Galladay is, so maybe they don't look at it that way. The Raiders, as we talked about, I still look at that, you know, and I'd be a little worried. I mean, Henry Ruggs was not all that impressive last year. The Dolphins are a team where I sit there and go, they got money. And do you want Tua to succeed here? Yeah. I know they get Devontae Parker, but he's got an injury history, and they need something else there. And then, you know, the last two I'll throw on there that just have money and a need for the position are the Titans, the Ravens, and the Colts. You know, the Colts is not desperate. It's not desperate.
T.Y. probably not.
T.Y.'s a free agent, you know. So right now it's, you know, the Zach Pascal, the Michael Pittman Jr., I'm sure they're hoping Paris Campbell, their second-round pick from 2 years ago, starts to show up. I mean, I loved him, but he's been injured the first 2 years.
Right.
So they'd be a team I'd think about. And, you know, the Titans, of course, Corey Davis is gone. And they really, when you look at that, it's only A.J. Brown right now as far as a real dependable go-to type guy. But those are the teams that make sense to me that I think would get in the bidding for Galladay.
Good time to bring in Big Phil. Always nice to have you. Why don't you jump in here on the Kenny Galladay? I don't want to say sweepstakes because it doesn't seem like there's been a huge demand for what he's asking right now. But where would you like to see him end up?
Oh, where I would like to see him, that's a good question. I don't think it'll be Jacksonville just because that was the first thing. I think they got some sneaky receivers down there.
Yeah.
They're good enough. They're looking to build the team. I don't think they, and I don't look at them as a team, let's go out right now and spend big money on a player like that.
Right.
This is a year to rebuild the infrastructure of your football team. I think that's what they're doing. They've had a lot of action in free agency. You know, Christopher and Paul, running backs, their value went down years ago because we know short shelf life, okay, all the punishment, everything. As Bill Belichick once said to me, if I got a nicked up running back, he doesn't play. And I go, why? Because it's a car wreck. And you need guys 100% healthy, ready to run up in there. And wide receivers, there's so many good ones, and there's so much going on the offensive side that, in other words, you can help them even more than ever with motions and formations and spreading the field. I guess the big point is there. I think the value of wide receivers is going to go down.
No doubt.
I do.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, Galladay, I think you make a great point, Christopher, Paul, that the Giants do need another real person out there to help their football team to even it out.
Right.
And it wouldn't surprise me. I know they're interested in him. Just like I just looked at my phone, Juju Smith talking to the Jets.
Yeah.
So that makes sense, too.
It does.
That would just, kind of fit in from what they've done. And it wouldn't surprise me if both of these deals go down. We see those two guys both come to New York.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. The Jets have always been pegged to Juju a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You got Corey Davis, who could kind of be your outside guy, running routes, got enough speed to scare you deep, even though it's not like a burner. And now Juju... And this is what I do. This is where I, again, we got to remember who we're talking about. Solid Mike LaFleur. Juju can be the Deebo Samuel of the group. Hey, he run blocks. Hey, he catches slants over the middle off our quick play action passes and runs like his ass is on fire, and he's fearless with people hitting him and doing those type of things. He has a physical presence to his game. And I think that the Jets and what they're going to do on offense, that would make sense.
Well, both of those wide receivers Corey Davis and Juju, both are thick, big guys, I think, when you look at them. Corey Davis, drafted high. I never saw it when he came out.
Yeah.
I just go, wow. And, of course, unlucky injuries, this, that, everything. This past year, he was a factor. I even remember sitting in the studio one Sunday and turning to Nate Burleson, and he's really high on Corey Davis. I went, okay, I see it now. Last year was the first time I said, oh, he's a polished NFL receiver, looks the part, is playing the part, and timed out well for him because the year he finally got it together is the year he becomes a free agent, I guess, and here he gets a chance to go to the Jets.
Hey, Dad, just while we're on this, because I know this is a team you know pretty good, and I'm not trying to throw you a curveball out of left field here, but I did bring up a little bit with the Colts, too. Like, if you're you're the Colts, right, and, right now – it's decent tight end play, right? Nothing special. It's pretty good. I don't want to say that. Their O-line's really good. You got a Michael Pittman Jr. You got Zach Pascal, right?
Right.
I don't know if there's anybody else coming. Paris Campbell, like you heard me talk about. Would you, if you're them, and, of course, they have money to spend right now, would you think about, a Galladay, a Juju?
Yes.
You would.
I do right away. I think he fits kind of what they look for, what they do. They need that guy on offense even more. I mean, Michael Pittman is a big receiver too.
Right.
But Kenny Galladay's speed, very good outside, can be that one-on-one guy, I think, for you if you want to put him opposite of the other receivers. He would fit in there great with the run game. That changes everything. When you talk about a team like the Colts, can run it so well.
Right.
And they can give the receivers some chance for some easy catches because of the great run game.
Yeah, no doubt.
And I would think they would be very interested in too. They'd, without question, even if Paris Campbell comes through and T.Y. Hilton looks like he's going to be playing elsewhere.
Right.
But they definitely, Patman, Zach Pascal, he's okay. But, he's good, but they need that one other guy to really round out their offense.
Yeah, I hear you there. I know. And, as I'm sitting here looking at this, too, I just want to make sure with Pascal is still there, right? Yes, right?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
Yeah, I was looking at it a couple days ago, and I went, okay, they're okay at receiver, but that's it. It's just okay. And they need – but when you look at all those guys, which one is the man?
Yep. Yes,
right.
And none of them are right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, no, and Pascal is there. I don't know why I got confused there for a second.
Hey, Phil, I always like it when you're on and the Patriots in the news because you have such an interesting, last 30 or 40 years with Bill Belichick. You knew him when you were the quarterback of the Giants. He was the coordinator. You covered him for so many years as the top guy at CBS. So with that knowledge
Dad
on
lived
our minds,
there. He lived in Belichick's office there for a few years.
Like two out of every 3 weeks for like 15 falls in a row. So
we did four games in a row with them once. I'm like, after the fourth week, we're like,
you
hey,
again?
Bill, don't even bother. We don't need to talk to nobody. But go ahead.
So with that on our minds, your reaction a couple days later to all the noise that Bill Belichick and the Patriots made in free agency to kind of get the week started?
Well, let me start it this way. Cam Newton being re-signed up there, I know you said it, Christopher. Paul, I didn't hear what your thoughts were. Not a surprise at all. I thought that's where he would end up if he ended up anywhere. I mean, of course, he'd end up somewhere, but I thought the Patriots were a much greater chance, and I got my phone on, as usual. So, that, you know, and I look at that, and it's a good signing because I think Cam will be better this year. They're going to be better, and I'm getting off on a different point here. But they want to kind of do what they did last year. Let's run the ball.
Yeah.
And you saw in the Super Bowl, you can have a good team and good receivers, but you can still play the game and protect the quarterback and throw a lot of short passes and run and have good defense and win big games and have a chance to, you know, to do what you want to do in the playoffs.
Right.
I think that's what they'll do again this year. I would expect what they've done at the wide receivers, that it'll be a little more open, but they're still going to want Cam to run, be physical on offense.
Right.
And then what he's doing here is doing what? He's rebuilding that defense to be multiple. It can do everything.
Right.
All the guys can play different positions as usual. They got size again, power.
Yeah.
And that's what they're – and I think the fact what they saw Cam Newton did last year, I love how everybody's just killing the move. Oh, Cam, his passing step.
I just answered
this.
I know.
You dummies. If he'd have played perfect, the passing stats were going to be pedestrian because of how they decided to play and use their football team.
Right.
They knew they were undermanned, so let's play it tight, which they did. And when you do that, you're going to lose some close games. And they were unlucky a few times.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to build on that. And my final point is this. By doing that, now it changes what I look at their quarterback situation.
Yeah.
I mean, Bill Belichick's got to love the fact that sometimes the offense would go out there last year, Paul, and I would see it. They'd get three first downs, 6 minutes and 49 seconds off the clock, and they punt.
Right.
And he's going, good, we got them pinned down. Now my defense is going to go out there, which this year that defense is going to be much better.
Oof.
And play that style, and I think it's a great I didn't even get to my last point. Now – what are they going to do for the backup quarterback?
Yeah, yeah. We just
Jared
talked about this
Stidham
a little.
Does not even get close to fitting the bill, if I'm just right in my guess of where they're going with
Yeah, I just said the same kind of thing, Dad, so I hear you.
Did you really?
I did. I said it earlier. I had a question from somebody on Twitter asking about the quarterback situation, and I went that, and we got into Mitchell Trubisky. And I said, if I'm Mitchell Trubisky and if I'm the Patriots, he might be a guy I look at to maybe go there to be the backup. Because you can still run that Cam Newton type of offense with the Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah, you know that. I hadn't thought about him there, but it is a good one. He, of course, he's not going to run in there with the power and take the punishment that Cam did.
Right.
But he's probably faster than Cam.
He can run a little bit.
Right.
Yeah, I'm
but
sure
go ahead.
Is.
Finish Cam your does. Thought. What else are you going to say there?
Well, it wouldn't surprise me if they drafted a quarterback and one of these guys a fall or whatever, and they go up and they get the quarterback that can – throw the ball okay, and then run it too. You know,
right.
Be
like a Trey
runner.
Lance or something like that.
You're talking about
well,
early
yeah,
throw.
That's the first
early?
Guy that comes to my mind. Trey Lance is a better thrower, to me, and faster than Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, I agree.
So
100%.
I look at that and just go, I don't know. So you could make a move, go up there, get your so-called quarterback of the future, but really, if you're going to play a certain style, even Cam Newton can get nicked up.
Right.
As big as he is and all that.
Right.
So that was the first thing that came to mind. I said, oh, are they going to pull off a draft day little scenario here? Because if a team knows that they can sit a guy and groom him and get him ready, it would be the New England Patriots.
No doubt.
You know, so what'd they do? Second round for Garoppolo?
Yep.
And he sat there and
Ryan Mallett was what, third round, right? That year, one of those years? But
But what was that again?
Ryan Mallett. They drafted him in the third 1 year. It might have even been late second. I can't remember.
I think it was the third. To be
but either way, you're right. They're not afraid to get that guy and let him sit there and learn and groom him a little bit. And he does. And that would make sense, Dad. I hear you there. There is a little logic. Like if somebody fell, whether it's I don't imagine them taking a quarterback at 15 in the first round.
Right.
No.
But you could also with Bill, you never know. You know, if somebody's not there that he really likes and the value doesn't match with his board, I mean, he could trade down three times to where all of a sudden now he's not in the first round.
Right.
And he's got 4 second-round picks. And then late in the first round, all of a sudden, Trey Lance is still on the board. And all of a sudden, New England's back in. Oh, who are they going to do? I mean, that to me would be a realistic scenario with this group.
Well, I think they walked into it last year, the money, you know, not having it, losing all the players for the opt-out, getting Cam Newton. And I do really think Bill Belichick once again. Now, you know, if I went through all these offenses, and you guys can do it too, we know that. I've done this many times. But this is another new offense.
Yeah, right.
This is another one. This is really going back. I mean, listen, he would love nothing more to go and kind of create a new way to do this, which they tried last year, because that was, come on, watching them play was exciting because it was like, wow, this is so awful.
How are they going to find a way to snatch it up in there for 6 yards this time?
I mean, they're masters. Oh, my God. I know. It was funny. It really was. And the sad thing is I really, like, was enamored with it watching them play.
Yeah.
And just grinding every game into the ugliest games we've watched. And, of course, when it fell apart on them a few times during the year, they just got crushed because they couldn't manhandle the other team up front.
Right, right.
Just a complete fist fight to kick two field goals a game. Yeah, that's what it was.
Say it again, Paul.
Oh, it was just an ugly battle, a fist fight of sorts, just to try and get 6 points 3 quarters later.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the whole thing is, it goes back to the very beginning who Bill Belichick is. It's going to be, all this is designed, of course, to win games, the offense to get better. But it's to play, make his defense even stronger and better.
Yeah, right.
To me, that's the whole key.
And now you got a Devon Godshaw, then Matt Judon, Dante Hightower's back. You got Kyle Van Noy.
Yeah.
And
Kyle Van Noy, what? I mean, give him back to us? Yeah, we'll take him.
He's so patriot. Right.
Good. Yeah, good, good. You all paid him $15 million last year. Right. No doubt. All right, Dad, here, one other thing I want to get on with you here. Because first, we kind of already hit on Ryan Fitzpatrick to Washington, and I think you like that, right? Just
yes, I do.
Okay, good.
Why does everybody think you got to go? We got another draft, another guy. We got to get that. No, they're building their team in the right way,
right?
And they're just getting the guy to be a placeholder for a little bit.
Yes.
And I think they know they kind of like the backup. Oh my God, I'm drawing a blank. Taylor Heinicke
or Kyle Allen, they're both going to be there, right?
Yeah. So I mean, I think they know that they're not worried about that, but they're doing. I like what they did getting Fitzpatrick. He gives you a lot of, you know, listen, just gives you, you know, some personality. I mean, that's the whole thing.
That's right.
I hate to say the word juice because everybody says it, but
he's got juice.
That's what he does.
Juice.
Hey, Christopher, yes, that's right. What he used
go
to
ahead,
do,
tell
Paul,
them
the
tell
kid.
Them juice story while we're here. Just go ahead. Tell them the juice story.
He was very young. I don't know how old. He could stand up at his
me.
Crib.
This is me we're talking about. Okay. I'm standing in my crib.
Yeah. Right.
My wife and I would be laying in bed, and Christopher would start going, juice. And it would just go on and on, and my wife would always give in. I said, look, we break this. Let him moan and groan. So the first night he moaned and groaned, I'm telling you, went on for 2 hours. I said, God, he's not going to give up. And finally he started going, juice. And he was gone. And the next night he did it again. It lasted like 5 minutes, and he goes, okay, I'm giving up. And that was the end of that. So.
Made you quit.
See, stubborn Sims, it starts at an early age, as you can tell.
40 years later, it means what? It's manifesting itself how?
Oh, well, now it's, you know, I'm yelling at my wife or something. Is dinner ready? Where's my salad?
You know, some other things I know you guys probably didn't get to hear everything.
Yeah.
But two teams that just, I mean, it's so much movement, it's driving me nuts.
Yeah, it's hard to keep up.
I'm looking at a guy going, where the hell did he play last year? I can't remember. You know, these things happen. But the Rams and the Raiders.
Right.
Wow. I just such a – just losing players and so many guys and everything. How do you overcome it? And, you know, I looked at the rosters. I just go, okay. You know, some of these names I didn't even know.
I know.
And just what are they going to do? The Raiders, they got their offense built to perfection, really, in my mind. It was awesome.
Right.
Control the ball, very efficient, everything. And now you just dismantle your offensive line.
Yeah. What?
Now you don't have either.
I know. Well,
you know, so. And that's really interesting.
Right. And then Paul wants to ask, like, what's up with that? And this would be it. In my heart of hearts, this would be it.
Yeah.
You know, one, I think they look at their team and go, damn, we got a lot of issues. There's a lot of holes to fill. And I think they're probably going, we just can't keep paying these old – we can't have the most expensive O-line in football and still get defensive players and things we need to kind of round out the roster. Also, right. I will say Gruden, you know, he's no idiot, and neither is Mike Mayock, to where I think there's guys probably coming up the ranks that are, like, they drafted the John Simpson guy out of Clemson last year. Mm-hmm. I heard a little early last year they liked him. So he's going to fill one of those spots. So they got Colton Miller incognito at left guard because he came back yesterday.
Right. That was a good move for them.
John's the Simpson kid from Clemson, I think, plays and takes over for Gabe Jackson. And then they re-signed their Denzel Good. So he's probably going to be the right tackle there for Trent Brown. And then, again, the hardest thing for our job, me and Dad, is just knowing some of these offensive linemen that might be coming up the ranks that they like, especially with no preseason football last year. So I just got to think.
Well, it looks like they've been kind of building for it, knowing this was coming down the road. So I will give them credit for that.
Yeah, right. But it is. Still, it's shocking.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. And then I look at Kansas City and what they did. It's Joe Tooney.
Yeah.
His name is not Thuney. No, you're not the only one. Everybody on TV could call him Joe Thuney. But don't forget, I know you know this, they're getting Duvernay Tardif back this year.
That's right.
I think it's Tardif. Everybody says Tardif, but Andy Reid told me, hey, Tardif. You know, he kept going on. I go, well, hell, it's got to be his name.
Yeah.
Andy didn't call. But whatever. But they're built now. They got the interior offensive line. And you said it right, Christopher. God, I don't mean to steal this from you. But the middle is solid. Now, the ends, if they're not disciplined, the running lanes are humongous for a quarterback that likes to float around.
Right.
And Mike Shanahan told me this, and I've never forgotten it. He goes, I want the center and the two guards to be the cornerstones. I go, whoa. You know, I'm just saying. But he goes, you can help a tackle. You can't help the center and the guard.
Yeah, that's a great point. No doubt.
And I just went, okay, bingo.
Yeah.
Now, the alarming thing about that is it seems to be a new rule in the NFL. Well, let's just have them all block their guy, and we're not going to help. Hell, can anybody? Oh, that's right. Tampa in the Super Bowl said, let's just block everybody and give Tom Brady, and look what happened.
Yeah. Right.
A lot of easy throws, stuff like that. But it's what happened on Kansas City? Reshuffled offensive line? Did they help them out? No. And I figured for sure that was going to be the big part of the game. That, look what Kansas City did to block them up and give Mahomes, and they did nothing. They just said, oh, let's just block them and see what happens. And, well, we know
what happened.
So, really interesting to know what Kansas City is doing and how they did it. And, you know, they're just going to make sure they're a player big time again next year, which we know they will.
Yeah, no doubt. And you're right. The Tardif thing is a really good point. And, you know, Kyle Long, along with Tooney, you know, Kyle Long.
Oh, yeah, I know. Oh, Kyle.
He'll be ready.
Let me get healthy. I'm ready to come back.
Exactly. That was exactly right. I mean, you know, he was beat to shit to a degree. Dad and I know the Long family pretty well. And he loves football. And I think he just needed a year away to just go, I got 70 different things bothering me. Mm-hmm. I just got to let my body heal one year here where I don't, you know, play a year and gut it out, but now I got another injury that I'm trying to rehab. And so, and first off, if you ever saw Kyle Long in person, he's a Neanderthal, just like his dad. I mean, his head they got two cinder blocks as heads, not one, and they're giants. So that's where it's just I have a hard time thinking he won't fit, be the starter, and play at a pretty high level right away.
Absolutely. Listen, they call their dad. I said something to Kyle once. He goes, well, I called Blockhead. And I went right on TV. But he really would get upset about whatever the perception was by the media about teams and players and coaches if it was wrong. Oh, my gosh.
Right.
You know, I do, too, and you guys do, too. But he would do it, and I'd just go, well, I'm not going to challenge any of that because I think he might whoop my butt if I do. you know, the other thing is just his love for the sport to say the right things. And he's, not, you know, it probably drove him crazy doing TV going, man, you know.
Yes.
So many things he wanted to talk about, as we all know, and you're on TV, you don't get a chance to get to those.
Yes,
so,
most of the time.
But he was very good at it, really followed the league, understood it, and you know, he understands the big picture of it, which was really cool to get a chance to work with him a little.
No doubt, no doubt. What else? Anything else? So, all right, I wanted to hit on one more thing.
Yes.
You got time for me, Dad? Real here, not too long. I do want to hear Andy Dalton to the Bears. I haven't heard anything from you on that. We didn't text about that, nothing. I just want to hear your first thought that comes to your mind.
I like Andy Dalton. He's a really, you know, I think he's a backup quarterback in today's world.
Yeah.
That's what he is and nothing more.
Right.
He's played a lot, so he has great experience. Is he better than Nick Foles? Yes. I won't even second. I don't just go, no, I'd take Andy Dalton right now.
Yeah.
Don't even ask the question. But, wow. Is that what we've come down to for the Chicago Bears and everything? And it's all they talked about. You ran Mitchell Trubisky out of town. You only went to the playoffs two out of the last 3 years. And, yeah, I know it's always his fault.
Right.
So we can now stop talking about that and crying about it. And the Chicago fans, okay, hey, have a good time. You know, everybody.
Yeah.
Coaches, good luck. It's going to – I think it was a just change your whole team movement. Yeah, it was really great. So you buried the guy.
Way to go.
You bury him. You bury your own team, and now, well, we tried to get Russell Wilson. Well, what were you going to get him with? What do you got? Oh, okay. That's right.
No, and they weren't going to. I know for a fact that was not a real offer. I started off the podcast because we kind of hit this news, and, you know, that was propaganda released by the Bears to make it look like they did everything they could do to get Russell Wilson. My understanding from two different people who were in the know of the situation is that that offer was never presented to the Seattle Seahawks at no point.
Right.
So, you know, there it is.
Well,
so we'll
you
see.
Know, it's an old story, but we know when you go out there, most teams, no matter what, can always put out the fires about their quarterback and keep it to a certain level where they can handle it.
Right.
But no, they threw gasoline on the fire. And, hell, they did that before it even got started. So
that's
my whole thought about that. And I hope Andy Dalton does well. I do. You know, there's something in me that kind of, like, I root for the Chicago Bears. And I know I will give them credit. They did a great job of managing their team at the end of the year.
Right.
Going, oh, this is who we are.
Right.
So let's do this.
Yeah.
Well, that's a unique concept. I don't know I've ever heard that. But it really worked for them. It did.
Yeah.
And, you know, they actually hung in the game for a long time with the New Orleans Saints. And they're really, truly getting destroyed in the game physically, especially on offense. But they were hanging in there, and I thought, man, if they make one play.
Yeah, it could be a different game.
They're in the game or maybe winning.
Right.
And so I do give them a lot of credit for that. But just I don't know what it does for their football team. And Andy Dalton. Hey, you led the Cincinnati Bengals to what, the 5 straight playoff game teams or season?
Yeah.
Well, this will be a lot tougher than any of those seasons, so we'll see how it goes.
All right, you the man. We got no more use for you.
That's it.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
Yeah, it's my cousin Vinny, right? I got no more use for you.
No,
I got no more use for this guy.
Yeah, you know, the giant, hey, thanks, man. We'll see you. You know, okay.
All right, I'll talk to you,
Dad. At least Dirty Diana hasn't said it yet.
Okay, good.
I mean, I can't believe he calls his mother Paul.
I know.
Dirty
I know.
Diana.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, she hears it everywhere we go now.
A few moments to figure that out, but yeah.
Dirty Diana, yeah. Well, I mean, I call him Big Fucker, so, I mean, come on, hey.
Dirty
you know?
Diana. Okay.
All right, Dad.
All right, I got to go. Okay.
See you, man.
Guys, have a good day. Talk to you, Paul.
See you, Phil.
See you, buddy.
See you, buddy. It's interesting that he said he likes the Bears, even though they made his kid cry at Soldier Field in 1987.
Yeah, right.
With the abuse they laid on Dad.
Well, Bears are one of those teams, you know, I think Dad and I, where we look at the Bears, because I'm kind of that way, too. It's an old school original franchise.
Yep.
They love their football in that city. When they are relevant, I find football to be more fun.
Absolutely.
And there's
something
about turning on a Bears game late in December or early January and going, oh, it's fucking freezing out there. Let's watch them play football.
Yeah.
You know, it's fun to watch. Yeah, you're like, you don't want to be there, but you go, this is football. This is what it's meant to be.
Right.
And I find myself rooting for them that way, too, a lot of the times.
For 25 years, nothing has tasted better after a hard day's work than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's because since day one, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. We use three kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms, then blended to perfection and cold-pressed to create the epic hard lemonade you know and love. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
I want to back up just a moment.
Yeah.
We're talking receivers.
Yeah.
And just say that you are releasing your draft rankings for the receivers on Monday.
Monday. Going to go through it. Got some, like I said, there's some top-end guys that are
really
that are impressive.
Yeah.
And I think a few guys that, you know, I'm going to bring to everybody's attention a little bit to go, Why is this guy not in the first round conversation? I haven't heard his name, and it's special. So hopefully, you know, everybody will tune in and listen a little bit.
And Pete, we're thinking the same way. I was going to go to the O-line for one more topic as well.
Yeah,
we
cool.
talked about a little bit there with the Raiders, but
right.
the Niners, Trent Williams and Alex Mack.
Oh, I mean, you know, again, I think for you know, Dad just talked about, you know, what Mike Shanahan said and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a great point. I think Kyle has a lot of those same thoughts, too. But Kyle also, compared to his dad in that day, has more of a outside edge running game, too, right? And Trent Williams is the best left tackle in football. He's the best tackle, period. You know, as I've said a few times over the last week, top three pass protector in the game. To me, he's the best run-blocking left tackle from all aspects, too. Whether it's just like power and rooting people out or asking him to do the more athletic things on the edge where it's, hey, maybe the tight end cracks down and now he's got to pull around and pull outside and lead a Deebo Samuel on the speed sweep or something like that. Or that all the toss cracks they do, all the screens Shanahan has. So, one, what does it do? Shanahan never has to worry about helping that left tackle out. Great, we're good. Both of his tackles. Don't ever have to help him out. And then he can do things in his offense where he won't have to go, I can't do this because my left tackle can't get out there and block this linebacker in space. Or, you know, he can't knock the corner off, you know, if we'd run the wide receiver screen. So that was paramount. And as you could see, they obviously liked him because they made him the highest paid tackle in the history of football. Alex Mack is a guy where great value deal, coming to that part of his career where, yeah, it's coming to an end, but he's still a real good football player. And, you know, just like Trent Williams, has a little bit of both in his game still. Like, you're not going to overpower him, so you get a big nose tackle over him. He can hang in there. He's got good size that way, and he's still explosive. You know, and again, that goes into kind of what I was saying with the Trent Williams thing. I think after that tackle, centers probably – that's why they paid Weston Richburg so much money a few years ago. They need a guy for the same reasons. After the tackle and the screen games and the screen game and some of the other creative inside runs, whether it's traps or things like that, you need a center who, yeah, can direct all the traffic because Shanahan's run system has a lot of different rules and things, but then can athletically do it. Or, hey, we're double-teaming this right defensive tackle, and, hey, center, I need you to help the double team and then get up to the second level and get on the will linebacker so he can't run across the formation and tackle the toss sweep. That's
right.
Where he's very good, and that's where it's great value for their team and important positions for Shanahan and his scheme overall.
It just makes me think it's even more odd that the Raiders were willing to let go
of
Hudson because he can still do all those things. To a certain extent,
yes.
The Packers and Lindsley as well.
I mean, yeah,
he's so
no doubt.
To what they
I know.
So anyway, I want to keep it with the Niners a little bit.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that they're paying Trent Williams, like you said. I mean, he's the highest paid left tackle in the history of the game. Right. Okay. So fair question here from Dolphin 2334. Do you think it's too much money to pay to a 33-year-old tackle?
I don't. He shows no signs of slowing down to me right now, and He's got a great athletic, fluid, flexible body. And again, just for, you know, it's a 6-year deal, right? And it's basically a 3-year deal, all right? So when he's 35 and 36, that's when it'll be the chance of they can cut him loose or restructure the deal or do anything like that. And he probably did them a solid, too, with making it a 6-year deal, too, just to lessen the number. Mm. I think this was one of those where Trent Williams wanted to go back to the 49ers. He just wanted to, hey, just get in the ballpark and I'll be back. Mm-hmm. And they got more than in the ballpark. Who knows what else was out there? But we also know Trent Williams forced his way to San Francisco last year, right, through all of that. Right. 49ers secretly having a good free agency.
Yeah.
You know, between those two, Alex Mathen Williams re-signing Juszczyk, you know, DJ Jones, an under-the-radar, really good defensive lineman for them when he's healthy. You know, the Samson Ebukam, I can never say his name the right way. You know, he's their kind of guy. You know, he just – it's pedal to the metal. I'll run through the brick wall. You need me a defensive end or stand-up linebacker, he can kind of do it all. But he's got a physical just craziness about his game that I think Shanahan and that defensive scheme like. So – it's good question.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it, but I think it's okay.
I also really like kind of the theme of what San Francisco and Tampa Bay have done so far. It's so the trend to be like, oh, we got a lot of use out of this guy. Someone's going to pay him more. Let him go. They have prioritized and kept some really important parts. We're going to pay him because we know he's special to what we do.
Right.
We're really good. We're going to stay good. San Francisco hasn't been that good, but you get the point.
No.
Don't let everybody walk. Pay some money to keep some guys that you know well in your system.
And San Francisco, you know, to what you're saying, they were good. They just had injuries last year.
Right.
You know, they were in the thick of things the whole year. And they really were. Even with the injuries, you're still sitting there in December going, they can get in. Holy crap.
They were,
you
know, right there, weren't they?
They were. The quarterback issues, all that. And, of course, it's just a year removed from the Super Bowl. So, yeah, they're doing well. They still got a little meat left on the bone. There's probably some guys they want to get on the defensive side of the ball. But overall, I think it's been a good start for them.
Cornerbacks. Pretty good news there with some names and the movements. You touched on it a little bit, but I want to let you go there one more time. William Jackson to Washington.
To me, again, William Jackson, I mean, you know, is one of the best pure man-to-man corners in all of football. I mean, and again, I think a little bit is hurt by the current market and what we got here as far as a, you know, less than salary cap. I'm still shocked that he wasn't the number one high-paid corner on the market. I mean, to me, that just to be the Shaquille Griffin one in Jacksonville, I don't understand that. I mean, there's no way I would have paid him over William Jackson. But, man, with that pass rush, and now you got him on the back end covering like that with good safeties and everything to go along with it, I just look at them and go, man, watch out. Like, Dad kind of said it right. They're not a team that's like, oh, gosh, we need to have receivers. I mean, a great quarterback to win the football game. I think they're looking at it going, wait, we got a good O-line, got some weapons. Our D-line is special and can – our defense is special and can almost win games by itself, as we talked about. You know, they got Landon Collins as far as at safety, who got hurt towards the end of the year. And I'm just trying to make sure I got all their free agents in line here, too, just to make sure I'm speaking correctly. But, you know, now you look at him, Kendall Fuller's still there at corner. And I just go, wow, the defense has really got just about everything you want, you know, other than maybe at some point they want to upgrade at middle linebacker. But I don't know. Bostic had a good year. They signed Michael Kendricks. I'm sure they're looking at that to be a diamond in the rough, something like that. But, man, I like the move altogether. Curtis Samuel, William Jackson, killer moves for me for Washington.
Pete, let's get it back to the Jaguars. You mentioned a little bit about Griffin to Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Let's show what the Jacksonville Jaguars have done in free agency. Up to this point, we're efforting.
Yep.
Efforting that. So more on Griffin. You didn't seem to be a big fan of that.
Well, no, not at all. To me, I don't understand that. First off, he's to me is a scheme fit guy. He is a Seattle scheme, right, type of DB. This is not a guy where you look at and you go, oh, he's a lockdown, shutdown type of corner. And that's the kind of money they're giving him. You know, so that's the one I don't understand. You know, and I think if you really went back and watched the tape of Shaquille Griffin, you'd go, wait, there's issues here. We're going to pay this guy all this money, but yet it's iffy if he can cover the top receivers in football. So that's the one I'll question. Everything else, listen, there's a lot to like here. I mean, there really is. Carlos Hyde, let's just – and leave this up for me, Nicole, if you can. Carlos Hyde, of course, still runs hard and knows Urban Meyer from his Ohio State days. So he's a good culture guy too. Marvin Jones can still run really fast and take the top off of a defense. So now you got him and DJ Chark on the outside. Ooh, watch out. Alualu, yeah, it's getting to the end of his career, but he's still a good football player that's going to help your team. Roy Robertson-Harris is one I know people have been a little bit like, wow, that's a lot of money for that guy. To me, again, now this is like the opposite of where I'm kind of getting on the Shaquille Griffin one. Roy Robertson-Harris is the one where I go, yeah, I know he was hurt last year a little bit and didn't play a full season, but, man, he's a difference maker when he's on the football field. You know, he's one of those guys where he's really big defensive end or a really athletic defensive tackle. You can do either one with them, so according to the week. And then getting a Malcolm Brown, who's still got good tread on the tires. And I like Rayshon Jenkins, who's a heat-seeking missile at safety. So all in all, not like huge money spent. But, I'll go back. Like Dad said, I think they're kind of getting their team in order here a little bit. It's not like just huge splash signings. They know they're not winning the Super Bowl this year. But they're getting a few vital pieces to be competitive, be a different team, and guys that they think are going to fit the way they want to play.
Couple other notes here under the heading of other teams. Tight end Gerald Everett to the Seahawks. Frank Knowles says, can you rate the Gerald Everett Seahawks signing? By the way, I heard you use the word malleable on PFT today. I was pleasantly surprised. I think Paul and Ahmed are rubbing off on you.
It is. It's not me, that's for sure. I think, yes, I did use that word. Every now and then I get one right. The Gerald Everett would be one of those where I'd classify as really under the radar, Chris Sims, Robin Hood type of signing right there.
All right.
You know, I would look at him to go, the Rams wanted to keep Gerald Everett. There's no doubt about it. They just can't. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're still in salary cap problems. Right. And the Seattle Seahawks, they've gotten a first, you know, hand look at the guy over the last few years, and they need another tight end presence. And to me, that's where, you know, he's going to be real handy. He could be a guy that could really kind of, like, pop to everybody this year. You know, okay, it's DK Metcalf. We're worried about that. They're running the football better here. They got Gabe Jackson. We'll see what happens with their running back situation and all that. But I would think that Pete wants to get back to using the tight end more in the pass game.
Lots of news going on. Every hour things come up. And while we were on, Chris, this morning, Philip Lindsay with the Broncos, they're going to part ways, let him go, now a free agent.
Well, all right, so I told you this a little bit before the podcast because he was one of the guys where I had said some things, you know, the last few weeks where I'd go, oh, watch out for him. I mean, they low-tendered him to where that means you don't even have to give draft pick compensation and low-tendered him. It'd be one of those guys where I'd go, man, if I was a team with a little money or something, you might be able to get, like, you know, outbid Denver and get a guy that you go, okay, he could be a game breaker for us. I had someone reach out in the NFL to me who had, I think heard my comments on this, and he goes,
hey,
go back and really watch him. Watch some film of him. Mm-hmm. So I did do that. And listen, I know he was banged up last year, you know, apparently. But yeah, it's a little concerning. It's the, you know, it's the point, and again, it's funny because I think Dad kind of just made this point, right, a little bit. And you heard me say this before we started. You know, one, he's not a big guy. He had a lot of carries in college. He had a decent amount of carries his first few years in the NFL. And he was fearless to where there's a hole. He was going to run through it 1,000 miles per hour. And if he got his head torn off, he didn't care. But when you're that smaller type of guy, 195-pound tailback, those car crashes add up. And I think what I noticed more than anything was, lack of the explosion I had once seen, which was special. Mm-hmm. But the other thing, too, that you look at, you start to go, oh, it's affecting, and I said this to you before we started, it's affecting his decision on running through holes.
Yep.
Where here's a hole, there's 7 yards, but it's going to be a collision at the end of that run.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, nope, I'll go this way and get 3. And that, to me, That's scary when running backs get to that, because now they're not really going with what the play design, where there's actual yards to be had. They're making business decisions and going, man, I don't want to do that again. Right? My shoulder hurts. My back hurts, whatever. And that's where it's scary, and that's why I'm sure, you know, I don't know why they rescinded the offer or whatever, but they probably realize that no one's going to actually try to spend money on the guy at this point.
And that's what the old man said about his conversation with Belichick. It was like,
a
nicked up running back can't have him because it's a car crash every single time.
It's a car crash every single time. The first guy my dad ever brought into my attention about that at all, and he'll go back and tell you this, was Joe Morris. Remember Joe Morris back then?
Yeah.
You know, to me, that was one thing my dad always said. I remember at an early age, he would bring it up every now and then and tell me how, and just I would hear him telling other people. Bill Parcells always felt bad about it, because he felt like he just crushed the guy in a 3-year period, and his career was over in 4 years.
Yeah.
You know, and he was, you know, one of the better running backs in
football. He was the Giants' offense.
He was the guy.
For that period of time.
Yeah. You know, 85, 86, you know, 87, and all of a sudden 88, it was kind of over. It was over. It was like, whoa, it's over. We got to start giving the ball to O.J. Anderson and doing that. Because he was a 5'7", 205 running back who, you know, had some legs and ran hard and all that, but it just, I don't care. You can't defeat that.
Yeah. Yeah. Father time.
Yeah, that's right. Father time. And that football is, I mean, that's where I really feel for running backs.
Yeah.
You know, there's Philip Lindsay, all that good play he gave that football team as an undrafted free agent, and he ain't going to get shit as far as long-term security for his life.
Right.
Not going to get anything. He's done, and now it's like, I hope somebody signs him, and I hope I'm wrong and he can get healthy and maybe be, you know, the guy we saw a few years ago. I root for him that way.
Because the Broncos sure got great value out of that.
They did, no doubt.
Finding him where they found him and all that,
Right.
Well, man, that is it.
Woo, woo.
That is all.
Yeah.
Receivers for you on Monday.
Yep, receivers in the draft. We're going to hit free agent stuff on the Monday podcast, too. It is. I'm looking at the news that's going on right now. Juju Smith-Schuster and the Jets are having that conversation, so I wouldn't be shocked to see that happen here at some point. Whether it's to support Sam Darnold or draft Zach Wilson, it makes sense. And it fits their scheme. But get at us. You know where to find me. Any more questions, free agency, draft related with these wide receivers, going to be all over it. Have a good weekend. Be safe. See you Monday. You the man, Pauly B.
Enjoy the hoops.
Yep, you know it.
Get that
bracket. Get the bracket in.
Get that bracket done.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.